It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the show. Of course, I'm your host, Scotty Myers. Thanks so much for tuning in this week and continuing to spread the word about the show. Love seeing new countries popping up and new listeners. So thank you. Continue to tell all your friends. Now, coming up a little bit later on, of course, we got our geek news and some big stories this week, including a major sequel being delayed, also a major rumor being shot down. And, of course, by the time you're hearing this, the Snyder Cut will have been released, and we'll talk a little bit about that and how the movement is continuing online. But first, just want a quick little Run Disney update, as I have the virtual half marathon that I have to complete by the end of the month, and I totally forgot about it. So I am not prepared. I've got a couple more long runs in, a couple of good paced short ones, so I'm starting to feel like it won't be a catastrophe when I go to do this half marathon sometime before the end of the month. But my physiotherapist did not leave me feeling confident. You know, she was like, we're talking about it and talking about pacing and maybe splitting it, doing a little bit of a walk-run program on it. And she was just like, listen, whatever you do, you know, it's going to be painful. It's going to be rough. And, you know, and I was just like, I know she's being honest, but at the same time, I was like, just tell me it's going to be fine. You know, just say, you know, whatever you do, it's going to be okay. You'll get through it. You might be a little sore. Not whatever you do, it's going to be rough. You know, just start crying now, basically, was kind of how she put it. And she was also like, you're probably going to want to come see me immediately after. You know, you're going to need a lot of work. So I'm not feeling like a super athlete right now. Feeling definitely a little concerned about this undertaking, especially since I have to run two half marathons, one before the end of March and then one before April 18th. Ideally, I do it on April 18th. So we shall see how this all goes. I'll let you know as soon as it's done. I'll be posting it on our socials that it's done, but I'll definitely let you know on here. So kind of looking forward to it. Also now, very fucking frightened. Really, really frightened. Before we slide into the geek news, I happened to catch this cool discussion on Reddit, and it brought back some really cool memories. I thought it was a fun little chat. It's people discussing toys that would be considered totally unsafe today. And I, you know, thinking about it, I was like, man, there was a lot of stuff, not only toys, but just activities that we did that nowadays kids would never be allowed to do, or if their parents did allow them to do it, they would be considered just terrible, terrible parents, like the absolute worst. You know, one of the things I was thinking of, I don't know if your playgrounds used to have just the spinner that you would get on, you know, like you would hold on for dear life if it got going really fast, but there was no like guardrail or anything around it. And when I was growing up, most of the time, playgrounds were not on the dirt, or now they have like, I've been to playgrounds where they have that turf. It's almost like AstroTurf. Most of the time when I was a kid, it was just on cement, where if you like fell down in the, you know, dead of summer, you would burn. Your skin would burn. And if you were on that spinny thing and you fell off it in the summer, you would fall down, scrape your legs, maybe break something, and then at the same time burn. So you get flung off this spinny thing, fall down, break your leg, and you can't get up, and you're laying on the hard asphalt just sizzling. I mean, that's, you know, nowadays you don't even see those things. But there's all kinds of those types of toys. I had a workout set when I was a kid. It was a Hulkamania workout set. So I had weights and barbells and stuff as a child. And like the hand grippers and like a skit. You know, I was young. Very young, and I had, you know, dead weights that I could have dropped on things. Some of the things I saw that popped up were things that I had never ever even heard of. One person, and I'm very curious if this was real or not, but they said they actually could get a science set that had real radioactive material in it, and it came with like a Geiger counter. I mean, if that's true, I think that was just a government program to try to create superheroes, but still. You know, obviously old school chemistry sets had a lot of crazy stuff in them. You know, I just think of all like even just when I think back on my childhood and I compare it, the only one I can compare it to is kind of like my nephews at this point. And I just think outside. Like, my nephews don't play outside very often. And I'm just like, even that now seems to be considered unsafe just because, you know, it's, you could slip, you could fall, all these things. Like, you know, helicopter parenting is real. And kids face very little danger now. And maybe that's why sometimes they grow up to be, you know, kind of pricks. But I think this is going to sound weird, but I think children should have to face danger. You know, just a little bit of fear in them, knowing that, well, you know, if I do that, bad things might happen. You learn a lot when there's a chance to lose a finger. That's all I'm saying. Let's move on to the geek news of the week. There is a lot of it, so let's break it down. We will start with a big superhero sequel that has been delayed yet again. Venom, Let There Be Carnage has been delayed. It was originally supposed to open, you know, last year. Now it has been pushed back to September 17th. It was delayed till June 25th, but Fast and the Furious 9 has moved into that spot. And the very smart people at Sony thought it not to be a good idea to go head-to-head against the Fast and the Furious series, which it isn't. I mean, I enjoy those movies. I can't explain why they're so popular, because really, you could write the plot on a napkin. But they are money-making machines. So very smart of Sony to get the hell out of the way of Fast and the Furious number 9. But now you have to wait till September 17th to see some Venom. And there was a rumor floating around in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that Chris Evans was going to return as Captain America. Now, the rumor stated that he was not going to return for a full-on Captain America movie, but that he may show up as a supporting character, kind of like Robert Downey Jr. did in the Spider-Man films, kind of like a mentor to maybe a younger hero. Kevin Feige has come out and shot those rumors down, said there's no truth to them whatsoever, and that, you know, as of right now, there have been no discussions for Chris Evans to return to the role of Captain America. I still don't know if I believe Kevin on this one. I think Marvel and Disney are playing this one, I want to say, somewhat close to the vest, where they have some things in the works, right? Obviously, they're going to introduce X-Men at some point. That's what I thought we were going to get out of WandaVision. You know, we're going to get the Fantastic Four at some point. And I think the hope is that those characters will carry the franchise going forward. If for some reason they do not, and maybe they see some diminishing returns on some movies, that's when they'll call Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr., they'll back the Brinks truck up and say, we need you guys to come back. So do I think there's a possibility that that rumor is true? Yes. Is it in the works right now today? I would bet no. I think they want to see how the new characters pan out with everybody. And some of the characters, I say new, it's new to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but we've been well introduced to Wolverine and whatnot. So I'd be curious to see how that goes. But I would not cross off a Robert Downey Jr. or Chris Evans return to the Marvel Cinematic Universe at some point down the road. And sticking with Disney, but switching to their other big property in Star Wars, there's some cool stuff coming to Disney Plus. If you are a diehard Star Wars fan, this is kind of some, I don't want to say obscure, but definitely out there stuff that a lot of people kind of forget even exists. But the made-for-TV movies Caravan of Courage and Ewok Adventure and Ewoks The Battle for Endor, they are coming to Disney Plus. I remember watching these things on TV. They are cute. Let's put it that way. I don't want to say that they're bad, because my memories of them are very fond. But they're definitely not the highest level of Star Wars entertainment that we've gotten so far. But they are coming to Disney Plus, as is the animated The Story of the Faithful Wookiee, which debuted during the Star Wars Holiday Special. And it's great that this is coming to Disney Plus, because this is the official debut of Boba Fett. This is when we first saw the most loved bounty hunter in the galaxy. And it's nice to see him getting this treatment that we can see his first appearance. But I still just say, release the fucking holiday special. You did the Lego holiday special. You're releasing these Ewok movies. Just release the holiday special on there. But that's not all that we're getting. We're also going to get the animated Star Wars Ewoks show, as well as Star Wars Clone Wars. Now, you may be going, wait, that's already on there. No, Star Wars The Clone Wars is on there. Clone Wars came from Genndy Tartakovsky, and it was released following the theatrical run of Attack of the Clones. It was very well received. It was the introduction of General Grievous. But once Disney purchased Lucasfilm, they kind of took Star Wars Clone Wars and moved it out of canon and down into the Legends corner of the franchise. But there's a lot of people that preferred the animated Clone Wars to the computer animated The Clone Wars that we eventually got. So it's going to be nice that that is going to have a home on Disney Plus as well. So tons of Star Wars content being dumped on to Disney Plus. And then on top of that, we still have all the, you know, the new Star Wars shows headed our way as well. So Disney Plus, it really, in many, many ways, Star Wars Plus. Because really, Star Wars has been what's carrying that streaming service for the most part since its launch, thanks to The Mandalorian. So, I mean, you know, I know they don't want to rename it that, but I think it's somewhat of a fitting name. It is Star Wars Plus. Switching over to DC, a little interesting thing. Ryan Reynolds, who, of course, was Green Lantern in the ill-fated, not very well-received Green Lantern movie, he hasn't apparently never watched it. And that changed. He sat down with some gin out of the company that he owns, so it was partly an advertisement, but he decided to watch Green Lantern for the very first time. And he did some tweeting while he was watching it, and there were definitely some interesting tweets in there. One was a picture of the ring, and he was like, I still have the ring. I could put it on. That's like, that's cool. Like, just thinking about it, like, man, if I was Green Lantern, I would definitely still have that ring at home. And I probably would wear it, actually, all the time. But he was really praising the cast. You know, he's saying, like, there's some heavy, heavy hitters in this movie. And there are. Like, there are good people in the movie, like Angela Bassett, Ryan Reynolds, of course, Mark Strong, Peter Sarsgaard. They're all part of that movie. And, you know, Mark Strong as Sinestro in that film was fantastic. So after all these years of Ryan Reynolds shitting on Green Lantern, what was his final take on watching it for the first time? He said, maybe it's the aviation gin talking, but Green Lantern was nothing to fear. Hundreds of incredible crew and cast members did amazing work, and while it's not perfect, it ain't a tragedy. Next time I won't wait a decade to watch it. And that's probably the best way to sum up that Green Lantern movie. I'm a huge Green Lantern fan. I saw it in the theaters. I've defended that movie since it came out. I always say, listen, is it perfect? No. Did they make some mistakes? Fuck yes, they made some mistakes with that movie. But did it have to be thrown out? I never thought so. I thought you could have picked up where that movie leaves off. With the ending of it, spoilers if you haven't watched it, but the ending of it is Sinestro putting on the yellow ring and becoming a yellow lantern, which is such a monumental moment in Green Lantern lore that would have been a great place to pick up a sequel. And they could have fixed a lot of the things they did wrong in the first movie in a sequel. It didn't do so bad that they couldn't have spawned a sequel. They just decided not to because the reaction and the reception was not very, let's say, pleasant. But I always thought there was a chance to redeem that movie, and a better sequel would have made the original better by proxy. And I think it was a missed opportunity. I know we got Mark Strong as a great villain in Shazam, but really missed opportunity to have him as full-on evil Sinestro. So a little bit of a bummer there. DC has come out and announced an Hourman movie is in the works. Now, Hourman, not a super well-known character in the DC universe, especially in the mainstream world. He's gotten a little bit of play in Stargirl on the CW, which is helping open up the character. But it seems like Warner Brothers and DC are interested in turning the character into a full-on film. I find this kind of an interesting choice for a character to make a whole movie of. Partly, like I say, he's not the most well-known character, and he dates back to like the 1940s. The initial version of the character was a guy named Rex Tyler, a chemist who created this synthetic compound Miraclo, which gave him superpowers for exactly 1 hour, hence the name Hour Man. Now, the thing that does make sense on a level for DC to do this is, of course, we've got the Black Adam movie, which is also set to introduce the Justice Society of America, which Hour Man was a member. Now, he's not part of the incarnation of the team that is going to show up in Black Adam, but it makes sense if we're bringing the Justice Society of America into the DC film universe that maybe we see some more of those characters maybe getting their own due. So a live action Hour Man doesn't seem like a terrible idea. Part of me thinks it might be better served for an HBO Max film, but hey, if it goes to the theaters and it does well, who am I to complain? It just, in the back of my head, I can think of so many other DC characters that I want to see on the big screen that I would list probably ahead of Hour Man. Booster Gold, please. Please. That's all I want out of life. Speaking of DC and movies, HBO, Warner Brothers, they were having this press thing the other day, and they put up a bunch of logos of movies and shows in development. And a couple of kind of rumored but long quiet projects were shown, at least the title screens were. Batgirl was shown. Now, it was rumored quite some time ago that we were going to get a Batgirl film, and then the rumors kind of died down. It seems like it is still in the works. Same goes for Zatanna, one of the great magicians and magic users of the DC universe. It seemed like maybe the rumors of her movie went away because we were going to get that Justice League Dark show on HBO Max. And it was like, well, that's a good place for Zatanna, and she's going to be in a team environment. Great way to introduce the character. But the logo was still there on upcoming projects. So that has led many, many people to believe, myself included, that these projects are at least in still some level of development. So we still may get a Batgirl solo movie as well as a Zatanna solo movie. I think both of those would be fantastic. Hopefully they happen and those logos weren't just left there as placeholders or something bizarro like that. Bizarro might be an interesting movie too. Just throwing that out there. So on to Zack Snyder's Justice League. As you hear this, it is available. It is streaming pretty much everywhere around the world. Of course, HBO Max in the US, Crave in Canada. I can't list all the streaming services, but according to Zack himself, it is worldwide. And you'll be able to watch his 4-hour take on Justice League, which the early reviews have been fantastic. Everything I have read has said that it's obviously far superior to the movie we got in theaters 4 years ago, which is, you know, not super hard to do. As much as I enjoyed seeing that Justice League movie, it was flawed in certain areas. So it's nice to see that people are saying this version is much better. Also, some people are just saying this version's better because it allows the characters to breathe. Everybody has their moment or multiple moments, which is really what you want out of a team film, especially when DC kind of tried to do it the reverse way of, instead of giving you all the players their solo films first, we're going to bring a couple of them just into the team environment. So most of the negative reviews I've seen really just complain about the length. It's, you know, it is a 4-hour movie. So, you know, you got to buckle down. Now, if you're not in for a 4-hour movie, it is broken up into chapters. I've seen the chapter lengths for each one. Each chapter is about an hour. There's a couple of chapters that are only like a half hour or so. So you can break it up if you want and not watch it in one sitting. But right now, like if you go by Rotten Tomatoes, which I really don't, I don't trust Rotten Tomatoes, it's 77%, which would make it fresh, I believe, I think. I don't know how their thing works, but the tomato's not splattered, so we'll go with that. So that's a good sign. Now, because the movie is here, a four-year journey that started with a hashtag, release the Snyder Cut, has come to reality, which I think many people, Zack Snyder himself, never thought would happen. Now people are tweeting, restore the Snyderverse. That is the next big hashtag, I guess. And that's just because people want to see this story continue. You know, we want to see more of Ben Affleck's Batman, Henry Cavill's Superman, all these great characters, and the people did a great job portraying them. Now, while I am somewhat on board with the, you know, restore the Snyderverse, there's a couple of little changes I would recommend if they did restore the Snyderverse. One, if they did a Justice League sequel, I said this before, there was the rumor that, Zach said that the entire sequel would take place in that nightmare world with kind of evil Superman. I just feel like right now we need hopeful Superman, so I would, you know, and good Superman, so I kind of maybe shift away from that. And the one thing that has always stuck in my craw, I love Zack Snyder, but the one thing is that he said, if you, you know, obviously you see Batman versus Superman, and in the Batcave there's that Robin suit of a Robin that was killed by the Joker. Now, if you go through comic book lore, that's Jason Todd. And he comes back to life as Red Hood. Very cool character. So it's like, okay. So when I first saw that, watching Batman versus Superman, I was like, obviously, that's Jason Todd. And that leaves the door open for Red Hood to appear at some point in the DC film universe, which I'm all for. But Zack Snyder said, no, that Robin suit belonged to Dick Grayson, the first Robin. And that's who was killed. And I was just, whoa. You can't kill Dick Grayson. You just can't. I'm sorry. And I know he only said that. It's not anywhere in film. So it's easily fixable if we are to restore the Snyderverse. But I beg of Zach and the powers that be that if this hashtag, you know, is as successful as Release the Snyder Cut was, let's make that Jason Todd and not Dick Grayson. You know, Dick Grayson needs to grow up, move out, become Nightwing, be his own hero, eventually for a little while wear the mantle of the Bat. You know, there's just so much that character does in the comic books that to kill him, I feel, and I've talked to a few other comic book fans, they kind of feel the same way, killing him off would be very short-sighted and taking a big piece away from the Batman family that's important. It's not even just like, oh, well, we changed the character. No, that's a really, really important piece to Batman and the Bat family. So that would be the one thing I would like to see them really change if they did decide to restore the Snyderverse. And you could without it really affecting any of the other movies. You know, Aquaman came out, you know, after, I think Aquaman still continues on just fine. I think Wonder Woman's films continue on just fine. Obviously, Shazam is there in a world where Batman, Superman, those characters exist. And they mention things that have happened in the previous movies. So obviously, Shazam can live in that world. Suicide Squad obviously can live in that world. So it's not hard to restore it. We're just going to make sure it all makes sense. That's really, really my only takeaway if we did restore the Snyderverse. And I'm also on board with the hashtag of releasing the Ayer cut, David Ayer's cut of Suicide Squad, the one that he did. Apparently, it's quite different. We get a lot more Jared Leto's Joker, which people may want to see more of after we see him in Zack Snyder's Justice League. So let me know what you think of restoring the Snyderverse. And after you watch the Snyder cut, let me know your thoughts on it. At the Scotty Myers Show on Instagram and on Facebook, at Scotty Myers on Twitter. And of course, you can always shoot me an email too over at ScottyMyersMedia.com. If you haven't checked out our YouTube channel, for some reason, Podbean, my host, is having a hard time linking the show. It's not going up there like it used to. So I'm working on getting that fixed, but I will have some video content coming potentially around the Snyder Cut as well. So keep your eyes open for that. And until we chat again, have a great week.